We have Brother Ayers is going to come and deliver a message for us. I always think it's a little unfair sometimes to have a missionary try to stuff a presentation in and then deliver some sort of message in there at the that same generally 45-minute period of time. So I like to have our missionaries have an opportunity to be comfortable and be able to preach without having to, run through a message quickly. So, brother, why don't you go ahead and come on up, and I'll get you mic'd up here.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Stewart. Appreciate the fellowship today. I appreciate the service this morning and the good message out of Malachi there. And it was I got a lot of this morning, and it's one thing I do get. I get to go to different churches and different meetings and stuff. I get to hear all sorts of preaching, and it's always a blessing. Amen. And it can be kind of, see, my pastor used to say, the mind can only take in what the seat will endure. And so sometimes it takes some time to sit through three or four different messages and still get something out of it. But the Lord has blessed, and I'm glad to be here today. A good service this morning. I was glad to see you. Talked to your pastor this afternoon, and we went out for a bite to eat. And told him I enjoyed the church, the people, very friendly, and I can tell a sense of camaraderie and excitement and wanting to serve the Lord. So that was great to do that today. And so tonight I want to just give you a little bit here. And I'm not going to, I'm not a long-winded preacher. Sometimes I can get wound up. I know this morning I went a little bit long. I think it was 5-2. But that's because folks were asking questions. And so I try not to go too long. If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like you to turn to Luke chapter 19. Pastor mentioned the verse 42 this morning, so I was kind of wondering what he was going to say there. But it's just, I'm just going to take these verses. It's not an expository message, but it is a kind of a topical message. And I'm going to talk about three different cities here, and then one more city. And I want to just mention, years ago when I first started this, I was coming back from Lansing, Michigan, going back. I lived in Cumberland, Ohio at the time. It's down probably about 35 miles from, more like 60 miles from Wheeling, West Virginia. You go straight west out of West Virginia there. I used to live in a little town there called Barnesville, which was about 35 miles from Wheeling there. We had bought a house there after we had left Utah. And I went down that way because my son lived not too far away, and I had two granddaughters there. And I just wanted to be close to some family, so we went down there. And then in 2022 is when I began this ministry. And so we started the process of selling our house there in Cumberland, because I was going up to Lansing, Michigan. That's where our ministry was. But I was driving home one evening, coming back from Lansing and going down towards 23, Interstate 23, I think it's called, south of Toledo, Ohio there, and angling across towards Columbus area and then heading on over to where we lived. And it was at night, and I was just reminiscing, or I was thinking, I was praying as I was driving. And, the verse in the Bible says, watch and pray. So I was definitely watching and praying as I was driving along the road there. But just speaking to the Lord, my wife was kind of dozing in the seat next to me. And I was thinking, Lord, what can I, what can I say to folks to get them to understand that we need to be moved in our life? And I remembered a portion of Scripture, and I remember reading a devotional on this, and the Lord brought my mind to that, and so that's where I got the idea for this. The Lord directed my mind, but also from another man's writing. So, I say this lots of times, that I don't have too many original messages. They were first you know, in the Bible. Amen. I mean, that's where they come from. And I remember my pastor one time saying, I don't know where he gets his figures, but he said in the pastor's lifetime, he might get 4 or 5 original messages. And so I've got one that I know of, and I'm not going to preach it tonight because it dates and it's not the best message, but it's original. So that's why, you know, it was from me. But anyways, in this portion of scripture, he says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. This is verse number 41, Luke chapter number 19. But growing up in Michigan, and you know, as a kid, I was interested in sports. And I was, you know, my favorite team, of course, was Detroit Tigers because, you know, in proximity, that's who we liked. I liked the Michigan State Spartans because they were right next door. Detroit Lions, of course, all those teams. But, you know, the folks get really wrapped up in sports, don't they? And, I mean, you watch. I mean, they call them fans, and I think that's short for fanatics, you know. I mean, that's what it is, as far as I can tell. But people really get wrapped up. And I remember watching a baseball game many years ago, and I looked it up. It was June 2010, and there was a pitcher by the name of Armando Galarraga, and he was pitching for the Detroit Tigers. And I mean, some of you might remember, and he was pitching a perfect game. A perfect game is 27 batters up, 27 batters down, you know. No walks, no hits, no errors, nothing. No batter gets on base. And he's pitching a perfect game. He's up there. He's just retired the 26th batter. And the 27th batter got up, and he threw the pitch, and the batter hit the ball, hit it to the first baseman, Miguel Cabrera, who picked up the ball and tossed it back to Armando, who was covering first base. He stepped on first base, and boy, the crowd just went crazy. Perfect game. But there was a problem. The umpire said, safe. And oh, you could just hear a paw go over the stadium. And I, watching the team, I wasn't there in person, but I was watching. I thought, can you believe that? They showed the replay and the batter was completely out. He was out by at least a step. Yeah. And oh, the crowd was just, and it was just something else. And I remember fussing about that and getting all upset about it. And the next day I get up and I'm walking around the house, and I'm doing the things around the house, and I'm complaining. I'm talking to my wife. I said, "You know, can you imagine what happened? Can you imagine that umpire took that perfect game away from that pitcher?" But then the third day comes around, and I'm still complaining about it, and I'm still griping about it. And then the fourth day comes around, and I get up and I start saying something. And my wife says, "You know what? Just give it up." She said it very lovingly, by the way. Just give it up. It's not important. And you know what? It's not important. You know what? We get so stirred up about something. We get so excited about things. And it happens to all of us, it seems. Some of us are more low-key than others. But you can get the same way over football games. I remember watching a football game where Michigan State was playing Michigan, and the Spartans were losing by, you know, just a little bit coming into the fourth quarter. And Michigan had to kick the ball. And the snapped the ball back and the muffed the kick, and the Michigan State Spartan Jalen Watts Jackson picked up that ball and ran it into the end zone for a touchdown. Michigan State won. I remember that because I was a big Michigan State fan. But you know what's not important? Not important. We get the same way over politics, don't we? And we get so wrapped up. But listen, I've been voting since 1972, I believe. Been voting for that. When in Michigan we had a referendum on abortion in 1972 and voted it down, and then of course the Supreme Court comes through and throws it out and says, "Oh, you know," and you know the history of abortion is quite an issue. But I can remember being upset about that. I can be upset about when certain candidates won, and I can remember when certain candidates lost. I can remember when, not that long ago, when someone won, wasn't supposed to win. I thought, oh, can you believe that? And we get so upset. But I'm telling you something, folks, the world keeps going on. Amen. Doesn't matter if someone bad gets in there, someone good gets in there, someone that we like a lot or someone that we don't like a lot if they win. What I'm saying is God is in control. God knows what's going on. But why and what stirs our heart? What stirs your heart? What moves your heart? I want to talk about that tonight. Like I said, I'm not going to be long. I'm going to talk about three cities and then one more. Let me pray. Lord, be with us tonight. Touch our hearts, I pray. Help us to be stirred in our hearts tonight. Lord, I can preach on it. I can teach on it. I can try to move people to be encouraged to do these things, Lord. But unless the Holy Spirit touches hearts, Lord, it will do no good. I pray, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to our hearts tonight. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You see here in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. If you would go back to Luke chapter 13 and look at verse 34, I think you can see our Lord's passion here. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." You know, when God says something twice, we ought to listen. Amen. Many times in the Bible, I was reading the other day in Genesis, where God called Abraham and he was going to sacrifice his son. You know what he said? Abraham, Abraham. Do you think Abraham listened? Yeah. I remember when my mom would talk to me or my dad would be, she mentioned my full name, you know, you better pay attention. Amen. And so here the Lord says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I hear the passion in his voice." He says, "Which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." We have here the Lord concerned over Jerusalem. This is the city in verse 41 of chapter 19. And then in chapter 13, he says the same thing in verse 34. "Oh, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you." He weeps. And then John, earlier he says in John chapter 11, we see where Jesus wept, cried. Why is he doing it? The Lord is so moved over this. We see Jesus crying out from the cross, "Eli, Eli," which is, "My God, my God." Listen, this city, and I want to compare these cities to three different types of people. This first city represents the Lord's people. Why was the Lord? Why did he weep? Because he had come for the children of Israel. Amen? The Bible says that the gospel came first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. So the Lord, our Lord, was concerned about his people. He was concerned about his brethren, the folks that he knew, the folks that went to the temple with him. And he did serve, and he did. He kept every point of the law. He never sinned. But he was concerned about his people. And I think this portion of Scripture ought to represent, number one, the people that we love the most, our people. We ought to be so concerned about those that are closest to us, because Jesus was concerned about him. You know, in John chapter 1, verse 40 through 46, we see the Lord gathering starting to gather his disciples. And the Bible says that Andrew finds his brother Peter. Amen? He found his brother. He was concerned about... He said, "I'm excited. I know where the Lord is. I know where the Messiah is. Come and see," he told Peter. And then another portion of Scripture in that same portion, it says that Philip findeth Nathanael. This was obviously a close friend of Philip, was Nathanael. And he said, "Come see the Messiah." Our first mission is our family tonight. Those that are closest to us. And I know many of you who have been saved, that's probably the first ones that you ever talked to was your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers, your aunts, your uncles, your sons, your daughters. You understand, your grandpas, your grandmas, your grandsons, your granddaughters. All these relations that we have, we are concerned about them, and we ought to be stirred in our heart. We ought to be moved in our heart. As Jesus wept over those ones, we ought to weep, over the ones that are closest to us. I find a portion of scripture that amazes me. And then you can turn there. It's Romans chapter 9. And Paul had to really be specific about this. Matter of fact, he had to qualify it. He had to tell these folks, hey, listen, I'm telling you the truth. This portion of scripture amazes me. It says in Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 3, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. That's how he starts out this chapter. I'm telling you the truth, he says, because I would imagine he thought, man, they're not going to believe this. But Paul was so concerned about his brethren. He said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I find that amazing, folks. I cannot imagine being that saying that I would be accursed in Christ if but my family or these folks, my kinsmen, he says here. Now, I may be able to get to that, and I could get to that if it was my own direct family, my own children. Amen? But I find it hard to say, but man, listen, we ought to have a deep concern for our folks, for the folks that are closest to us. We ought to be concerned about them. There's a portion of scripture that goes along with this bearing precious seed, because this is where we get our name from. It's found in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. Many of you probably know it. I'll read it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Listen, we ought to have tears. We ought to ask God for tears. If we're not weeping over the loss, we ought to ask God to help us to weep. Amen? We ought to do that. There's been times where if I've asked God, Lord, give me tears. Give me a desire. Give me a burden for lost souls. And what ought to move us today is the fact that we have relatives, that we have folks that are close to us, maybe our neighbors that we know very well, or our coworkers that we work with every day, family members, dear friends, maybe high school friends or even grade school friends that we have known for years. John Green and I, the director, we've known each other since we were 2 years old. We're lifelong friends. His dad came to pastor that church in 1955, and we have been friends ever since, John Green and I. Down through the years, we've kept in touch, we've fellowshipped, and we've known each other, and he's now my boss, so that goes on. But listen, folks, we ought to be concerned about those that are closest to us. Well, this first city, Jerusalem, represents those that are closest to us. There's another city. If you'll take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Here we see Paul again. We see Paul writing. We read in Romans chapter 9 what Paul wrote. But we find here in Acts chapter 15, we see where it's written of Paul. And chapter 17, I'm sorry, I might have said 15, I meant 17, chapter number 17, verse number 15. And the Bible says, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Paul looked out and saw all these people serving other idols. And the Bible says his heart was stirred in him. He saw their idol worship. He saw their lost state. Folks, the Bible says he was moved at it. His heart was stirred in it. And this represents the folks that we don't know. This was in Paul's missionary journey. And here he sees these folks and they're worshiping idols, and his heart is stirred over them. I was privileged to go to Kenya in August of last year, like I told you this morning if you saw the video. And we were there for 10 days, and I was able, and Lord blessed me, that I was able to preach about 4,000 different kids and adults in that time period that we were there. We'd go to schools, two or three schools a day for the 10 days we were there. We went to a couple churches. We went to a woman's prison. We're able to preach to these folks. And I'll tell you what, these folks that I did not know, this is a foreign country. I'd never been to a foreign country like that before. I'd been over, I'd been across the border into Mexico, and I've been all across the border into Canada. But I've never been overseas like that. But I got there and saw all those people. I'll tell you what, it moved my heart. Stirred my soul. And I was able to preach to those folks and share the gospel. My spirit was moved. And folks, our hearts and our minds ought to be moved for those that we don't know. I like a mission-minded church. I like church that gives to missions and supplies for missionaries. So I thank God for churches like yours that will take on and say, yes, we'll help out those missionaries to support them. Talking with the pastor today, talking about of a person that they support in Oregon, close by, and supporting people around the world. Our hearts ought to be moved for that. And I thank God that some of you are, and you'll take out weekly and say, okay, I'll lay aside and try to give some money so these folks can witness, can stay on the field. Because folks, that's what it takes. It takes finances. It takes someone who's willing to go. But folks, we ought to be burdened for these. Paul spoke of the regions beyond. Do you know if you get in a car here and drive straight south from here, you can get in a mission field all the way down to Mexico. You head north from here, it's not as far. You can head up to Canada. It's a mission field. Folks there need to know the Lord. The folks need to know the Lord in this area, all around. And I'm thankful for a church that has a vision that will be burdened for what we call home missions. Missions that are right here. I'll tell you what, if any country needs missions now, it's the United States of America. We need missionaries here. We need folks going out and starting works and witnessing to folks. When we went to Fillmore, Utah, it was only a 27-hour drive from Lansing, Michigan to Fillmore, Utah. Do you know if you drove for 31 hours from Jerusalem, you could drive to Athens today? What I'm saying is the mission field is closer than you think. The missionaries have burdens for those in their countries and their places. This verse in Acts chapter 17 is why we need folks to take mission trips. Because the Bible says, when he saw. Amen? When he saw. When I think of serving the Lord and preaching the Word of God and witnessing to folks in Fillmore, Utah, we were there for 23 years. I think of Sean and Darlene and David and Danny and Derry and DeLynn. I think of Lee and Shauna and Erica. I think of Doug and Lois. I think of Sharon and Lena. And I think of Marcy and Sergio and Rosa. It's a few years ago that my daughter was going to Bible college and going to Pensacola. And we had went up to Salt Lake and got a room there and stayed there because she had to get a flight in the morning. And the phone rang and she picked it up and she talked to somebody, and then she just started breaking down crying, just weeping. We said, Katie, what's wrong? What happened? She told us a story of Marcy, who had been in our church ever since she was just a little girl. My wife used to babysit for her. She grew up there, got up to be my daughter's age, and a young lady, about 20, 21 years old at that time. She had been driving home from work and rolled her truck and then went out into eternity. Had died right there. And my wife got to looking in the records, got to looking into the records of from when we were in Fillmore and saw Marcy Pedrosa had accepted Jesus Christ. Amen. We didn't know anybody from anybody, you know, the saying didn't know anybody from Adam there. When we went, we didn't know anybody. These are folks that we did not know that God had burdened us to preach to and try to reach to in the city of Fillmore, Utah, in the state of Utah. When I look back, my heart is stirred. But at the time when we were there, we were just trying to make ends meet, Pastor. We were just trying to make it to the next day. Try to go on, try to stay on the field. Well, this city, this Athens, represents those that we do not know. There's another city, New Jerusalem. Look at what it says in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I want you to look at the very first two verses here. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And you know what this represents? This represents all those that are saved and go into heaven. These are the heavenly people. These are the folks. That's where we're trying to get to, and that's where we're trying to get folks saved and go to heaven. Amen? We don't want them to go to hell. We don't want them. You know, that's what Jesus came for. He came to save sinners. He came to rescue those folks. His spirit, the Bible says, was stirred in him. You know, we need to be concerned about all these folks. Jerusalem representing the people that we know. Athens representing those that we don't know. And the New Jerusalem representing those that will go to heaven. Every soul who we have had a part in their salvation will be there. Will be there. Family who we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. I have a brother David who passed away from cancer, from Agent Orange when he fought in Vietnam. Now I can remember talking to my brother David and saying, "David, do you know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven?" And I can still remember his voice, a crackling voice in death throes. I mean, he was very close to leaving this earth. He said, "Yes, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior." Our hearts ought to be moved for our family members. Our hearts ought to be moved. Our ought to be stirred for those that we do not know. How many folks that have you ever passed out a tract to and wonder where that tract go? I was in Yuma, Arizona for 3 months, and we went there, and man, it was hot there, 110, 111 degrees when we got there. And that was in September. And I went in, and you know, the first week I was there, the air conditioning on my car went out. Can you believe that? And I remember that because I had paid $1,700 to get it fixed. So I wasn't going to drive around without air conditioning in the car. And so I went to the local store there, and I went in to get some Freon. I was trying the cheapest way I could. Maybe the Freon's gone, but that wasn't the problem. And I came out of the store, and there on my windshield was a gospel tract. I said, "Hey." And I picked it up and said, "Maranatha Baptist Church." I said, "Hey." And we were there for 3 months. I needed a church. I'd come to find out it was right down the road from where we were staying. So I went there on Sunday, and I took that tract in. I said, "Hey." And I said, "I got this tract on my windshield." And every person that was standing there said, "Oh, we know where that came from. We know who put that track. That came from Larry." "Oh, really?" "Yeah," he said, "Larry gives out tracks all the time." And I found out that Larry passed out tracks just by the hundreds and hundreds. Matter of fact, the pastor told me later on that some of the people complained that Larry took so many tracks. He said, "Man, we get these tracks and we pay so much money for the tracks and he takes them all." And well, he was getting them out into the neighborhoods. And you know why Larry did that? Because Larry had been saved by someone giving him a track. He had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked to a gentleman this morning. I don't see him here tonight. He said that he had gotten saved. But at work, those tracks encouraged him to grow in the Lord. He'd already been saved, but it kind of reaffirmed salvation to him, he said. And he read those tracts, and it kept him going and kept him going. You know, you never know what a gospel tract will do, folks. You never know what it will do. Well, there's one more city, and there's, let's call that city, is it Wheat Ridge? Or Ridgeville?
Ridgeville.
Sorry, Ridgeville. All these cities I'm in, I don't know. I need to write them down. Matter of fact, in my notes, I got it penciled here, and I need to cross that out and put it in. But Ridgeville. Let's call that city Ridgeville. That's your city. That's, and you might not live in Ridgeville proper, but you might live in the surrounding areas, whatever the city that you live in. That ought to be the city that we're concerned about. Amen? We ought to give out gospel tracts. You never know what a gospel tract's going to do. We ought to invite people to come to church. You know, the gospel's preached. I know I've heard people say, you know, the church is meant for the Christian. And it is, but the gospel's still preached at church. Amen? People still get saved in church. And you come in, they want to visit, and they trust the Lord Jesus Christ to hear the gospel. They get on the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and then they want to talk to somebody, and someone says, let me show you how to be saved. Folks, that's what we ought to do. We ought to be concerned in our Ridgeville. We ought to be concerned, whatever town that we're in, that we live in, to get the gospel out, to tell people, I love the gospel tracts. And I'll most churches, and I think I grabbed a few. I know I did. Yep, hope. I grabbed a few. You know why? I have a little gospel tract. And I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just, you know, it sounds like it, but I'm not. But I got this little gospel tract holder, and I'll stick these tracts in here. And then as I go through the coffee drive-through, you have a human being around here. Human being? You know, human being coffee? That's the best coffee. Starbucks, you know, that's way too strong for me. I just don't care for it. You know, when I was in Utah, I cleaned windows. I told the pastor I cleaned windows. I cleaned 24 different Starbucks when I was in Utah. 24. I drank a lot of free coffee. You know, and I got all hepped up by the end of the day. I'm a running like crazy. But, you know, I stop at a drive-thru or something, give a gospel tract. And for a while I thought, you know, they probably get all sorts of tracts. But you know what? There's a big changeover in those stores. There's different people all the time. And I started asking, hey, have you ever gotten one of these? And many, many times I said, no, I've never gotten one of these. You'll never know what a gospel tract will do. Let me ask you this. How many times have you gotten a gospel tract? How many times has someone talked to you about the Lord? I was in Southern California one time visiting my kids down there, and I had two different people in 1 week approach me about the gospel. Can you believe that? It hasn't happened a lot, but that happened that week. I thought, you know, even in California, people spread the gospel. And I wouldn't doubt there's people here in Washington do the same thing. Tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you one more story, and I'll be done. This is a true story. I mean, I call it a story, but it's a testimony, more or less. Our hearts ought to be stirred, folks, to get the gospel out. Our hearts ought to be stirred. We talk about John and Romans passing them out, and people reading that and getting saved. A lot of folks think, hey, you know, not that many people get saved reading the Bible. You'd be surprised how many people get saved by reading the Bible. You'd be surprised how many people, especially those marked editions that we give out. You'd be surprised how many people trust the Lord Jesus Christ reading those. And many, many years ago, when polio was still a problem in our country, there was a young man who was fighting polio, and he was in a little town called Bath, Michigan. And he was fighting this disease. He was lying in the hospital. And someone came in, gave him a King James Bible, said, you need to read this. He started reading it. He started reading that, and somewhere along the line, he must have read, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For all his sin comes short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. And he read that, and he finally bowed his head and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Got saved. He got out of hospital, fought during that fight of polio. The one leg was shorter than the other. He had to wear a big, thick heel, a little big, thick sole. And I can remember seeing him walking around like this. He'd walk up to the pulpit. He got to preaching. And he started preaching the Word of God. And as a young man, as he went to Bob Jones University, and then he came back, and that's when Bob Jones University was good gospel, good preaching, good school. And he came back to the Lansing area there, and he started preaching in a revival meeting. And there was a couple sitting back in the back, or sitting in the auditorium. And a young family, a young couple was there, and they both got up and came forward and got saved. Well, they went back, and boy, they dedicated their life to the Lord. They even went off to Prairie Bible College in Canada. They were there about one semester, so it was pretty tough. And they thought, you know, I don't believe the Lord's called us here. So they came home and started a life, started having children. They had a son, another son. Then they had another son. Then they had twins, a son and a daughter. And then they had another son and a couple more girls. End up with eight in the family. And started raising them for the Lord. Went to a church in the north part of Lansing. And one day the pastor talked to the girl and said, "Hey, you need to go to this Bible Institute down there that I'm teaching at." She said, "Okay, I will." So she came down, and she was there at that. And I saw her, and I asked her out, and we got married. So that, my wife, was a direct result of that man who read that Bible and got saved. And I tell you what, folks, I tell you what, we need to get the Word of God out. If it's not a John and Romans, it ought to be a gospel tract. If it's not a gospel tract, we ought to tell you. You know, the best thing you can do is when you find somebody that you can talk to, say, "Let me tell you what the Lord did for me. He saved my soul. I thought I was good and I thought I was great, but the Bible said I'm not. And I trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, He came into my heart and He saved me. And boy, I'm just in love with the Lord." That's what we ought to be doing. Folks, is your heart stirred? Is it moved? It ought to be stirred. It ought to be moved. It ought to be moved to tell other people. It ought to be moved to get the gospel into the hands of other people. We ought to be moved so we can send the gospel around the world. And I told you this morning, if 100 million Christians would talk to 82 people, that's 8.2 million people. That's how many people are in the world. It is not an impossibility. We can do it. We ought to be moved. We ought to be stirred in our heart. Let's bow our heads and let's pray this night. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the attention of these folks. I thank you so much, Lord, for this church and for the pastor and his vision and trying to get people in and trying to get them saved and the activities of the church where people can fellowship. Because, Lord, we live in a sinful and a dying world, Lord. And then we need this respite. We need this place to come and fellowship around you. Now, I pray, God, you'd encourage our hearts, Lord, that we would tell others about Jesus Christ, that they would be saved. And God, help us to live our lives as an example for you. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.